So goeienaand en welkom by ons fantastiese reeks hier op Radio Grootrivier, die Suidlander Gesels reeks. Met hierdie reeks gaan ons gesels met departementshoofde en leiers van Suidlanders om 'n bietjie meer perspektief te kry af wat agter die skerms aangaan en gebeur by hierdie organisasie. So vanaand gesels ons met Simon Roche, hy is die nasionale departementshoof van Buitelands. Kom ons gee hom gou 'n luikie en kyk as of hom in die hande kry. Hallo Simon, hoe gaan het met jou vandag?
Alrighty, met jouself?
Nee, baie goed. Welkom hier by Radio Grootrivier en ons Suidlander Gesels program.
Baie dankie Marius, ek is baie bly om hier te wees.
Dat is hy. So Simon, jy is die nasionale departementshoof van Buitelands. Wat is die departement Buitelands?
Marius, our role and responsibility is to represent our SARC Suidlanders in the Buitenland. I'll tell you very briefly two principles of political science that will help people, I think, a little bit. The first of these two accepted principles of political science is that the first responsibility of any government is the defense of the realm. The second principle is that the most important department in any state is the Foreign Affairs Department. And that sounds ever so grand and full of hot air, but it's not. It's just the idea that if you're going to look after your own interests, your people, your borders, your country, the first thing you have to do is have relationships, good relationships with your neighbors. That's where it all begins, because that's where your greatest threats can be. So what we try to do as a department is to represent Suidland as well, to tell the truth about our SARC, to tell the truth about our people, and hopefully to get people to respect us. They don't have to like us or love us, but to help them to respect us for who we truly are.
Dit is definitief so, dit help nie, jy het net jou landjie soos 'n eie eiland en jy gaan nie alles op jou eie kan doen nie, jy gaan bure hê, jy gaan ander lande hê, jy gaan moet onderhandel en soos jy sê, om jouself veilig te hou, gaan jy dalk ook die help nodig het van ander lande. So die departement Buitelands, wat doen julle nou spesifiek voor anargie uitbreek? Ek weet jy het nou so 'n bietjie daarop geraak, maar jy kan seker 'n bietjie meer uitbrei.
Ja, Marius, we spend a lot of time communicating with people in the Buitenland that are wat ons goedgesind is, and to some extent people that hate us. You know, we've been interviewed by the Times of London, and CNN sent out a team from Atlanta, Georgia for 3 days a few years ago, and BBC and a left-wing German newspaper, and so on. The list is very, very long. None of those people are our friends, but we deal with them so that we can convey our message, so that we can represent our SARC as well as possible and not just leave it up to others to describe who and what we are, racist, maniacs, whatever horrible things they say about about Christian conservatives in these modern times. We also do trips overseas when we can afford them. We've been to the German Parliament, the Bundestag, the Croatian Parliament. We've given a speech at the European Parliament. We've visited the USA on a number of occasions and given many, many, many speeches across the length and the breadth of the USA. But in terms of hours of the day, what we mostly do is research. Unlike a mechanic, let's say, who, if he works for 10 hours on an engine, is going to get paid for 10 hours work, or he's going to charge the customer, you know, either his boss is going to give him 10 hours worth of wages, or he's going to be able to charge a customer himself for 10 hours worth of labor and the parts and the what have you. In our case, we put in a lot of time up to, I'd say, an average of 13 hours a day, 6 days a week, just doing research on what's going on in the world, so that we're able to talk well about the things that affect our SOC. So it's not always the most rewarding work. You know, you put in a lot to maybe just get a little bit of information that you can use for 3 or 4 weeks, and then it's gone and it's useless. Excuse me, I'm a little bit fluey. So that's the hours of the day work, is research, research, research. Every second Sunday, I do an interview, a big interview on World Broadcasting Network, and it's very highly rated. It is the 1 hour in every week, although we do it every 2 weeks, but it is the highest rated hour of the entire radio station.
Wow.
In the entire week, yeah. And to do that well, and by the way, it's one of the highest in the world. They have what they call talk stream ratings, which is, it's basically four criteria: radio format, by internet, live, voice. So it's not a music station. It's not a podcast that's archived. People listen to it later. And it's not, they do have FM, but this is not what the rating is about. So it's streamed on the internet, and it's a radio format. So there's no camera. They don't see my face. And our sake. Hello.
Azay, daar's jy terug.
Excuse. So that hour is very often the second biggest in the whole world. And in order to do that, we've got to do a lot of research, huge amounts of research, to be able to talk well enough to impress the audience to keep on coming back. And for thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and even millions of people to tune in to listen to what Saitlanders has to say for that 1 hour every second week.
Ja, wow, dit is nogal indrukwekkend daarie. Maar okay, ja, so dit is wat julle nou besig is mee, is om ons boodskap uit te kry, om goedgesindheid te kry, en ook net die bewusmaking daarvan, van wat aan die gang is, regtig waar, soos jy sê, as die wêreld die media beheer, dan beheer jy die, Ja, so ek vat nou byvoorbeeld die Meksikaanse se president wat nou is 'n Jewish vrou, maar sy is niks van haar is Meksikaans nie. Toe vra hulle hoe hulle dit reg gekry het. Toe sê hulle George Soros het 4 jaar terug al die radiostasies of meeste van die radiostasies in Mexico gekoop en dit is hoe hulle haar naam daar buite gekry het en dit is hoe die mense van haar begin hou het. So dit is baie powerful, as ek nou die Engelse woord kan gebruik.
Yeah, and 37 of the of the presidential candidates, beginning in the beginning when there's maybe 100 people who, you know, present themselves in the primaries, 37 presidential candidates assassinated over the past couple of years. 37 of her rivals.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Nee, it's unbelievable.
Dit is ongelooflik. Okay, nou die volgende vraag hierso is departement buitelands, hoe gaan julle te werk gaan dan nou as anargie in Suid-Afrika aangebreek het, as die dan tydperk nou aangebreek het, Simon?
Marius, a couple of years ago we drafted 2 handleidings and presented them to Mr. Miller as solutions for the time that lies ahead, and we haven't broadcasted them very widely. There are only a couple of copies, and they've only been seen by a couple of people. Simply because if you imagine, let's say, Department Logistiek, Chart, this most die hoof van Department Logistiek.
Yeah.
He is going to be so, his work will be done on such a ground level between so many people that it's very difficult to stop everything that he's doing in one moment. You know, some enemy would find it very difficult to prevent every single sack of cement being ingevorder, or every bag of millies being brought in. Our work is different. If you communicate overseas, you're usually doing so through a limited number of means. And therefore, it's easy to impede those means, easy to hamper them. So what we chose to do was not to tell the whole world about how we're going to go about things. It's not rocket science. There's nothing brilliant about it. It's really quite simple. But we have a way. We have a system. The system will depend very much on provincial and sector leaders and members, Saitlanders members in the field, feeding information into a central point, and that information will then be disseminated to our many, many, many thousands upon thousands of well-wishers and supporters and fans across the world. And it will simply be about getting out the message of what is really going on if or when Oom Sina's main prophecies come into fulfillment, when they become manifest, when they're realized. So in other words, if we're in a civil war or in a state of nationwide anarchy, we will want to tell the truth about what is happening to our people, what are the circumstances in which they find themselves, and why we deserve the sympathy of the world. And goodness knows that our enemies will be trying to do the same thing. of course, there's more to it than that. We will also be endeavoring to hold conversations with other countries concerning trade and commerce and industry and support and assistance and medication. You name it. There will be a huge amount of work to be done. And then our department, which is right now should be, it's meant to be the smallest department, will be obviously a hang of a lot bigger because there will be a lot more work to be done in the Beteland. You know, one thing that's worth thinking about is we all know about the presence of the Department of Education. Every time you go past a school, you are seeing a concrete representation of the Department of Education. You can say the same for the Department of Social Welfare every time you drive past a SASSA office. If you drive past an administrative office in a regional center, you know, that's the Department of Inland Affairs, Department of SARS, whatever, you see these physical representations. But 99% of people listening to this now will not be able to think of one example of a Department of Foreign Affairs, because the Department of Foreign Affairs of South Africa has very little representation in South Africa. Most of its representation is outside of South Africa.
Yeah.
And similarly, that's how this department functions completely differently to all of Saitlander's other departments. It's unique in that way. And for now, we're small, but hopefully with time, we will grow and strengthen. And if we enter a time of crisis, then we will need to find many people to represent us in many, many conversations with the world daily and on an ongoing basis.
Ja, ja. Ek moet nou eerlik sê, ek het nie eers daaraan gedink nie. Ek weet ons gaan val onder die wette van die Geneefse konvensie wanneer anargie uitbreek, maar hoe gaan die ander lande weet ons pas nou hierdie wette toe as het nie is vir departement buitenlands wat nou al reeds die voedingsare van kommunikasie geskep het na die ander buitelande se mense toe nie. En ek het nooit besef dat dit nou regtig waar nou eers eintlik by my die lightbulb nou eers aangekom hier bo my kop van hoe belangrik gaan dit wees, van wanneer ons binne in daai Geneefse konvensie se wette dinge doen, dan gaan nie die res van die wêreld daarvan moet weet om te weet ons is nie besig met onheil dinge nie, kan mens maar sê.
Yeah, you're dead right, Marius. It's going to be vital for us to get out our message well right from the beginning. I met one of the heroes, the Croatian heroes of the the breakup of Yugoslavia. You know, there was that Yugoslav civil war between 1991 and 1999. And Yugoslavia just means the southern Slavic peoples, you know, like Russians and Ukrainians and Bulgarians. They're all Slavics. And the southern Slavic peoples are the Slovenes, Croats, Bosnians, Serbians, and Montenegrins. And so when they all broke up and they were, you know, trying to kill one another, a particular guy became a hero of the Croats as a general. And he very famously turned the situation around for the Croats very, very much. And I went to see him and I asked him, what are the most important elements when you are in such a tiny minority facing overwhelming enemies, greater in number than you, greater in power than you, greater than this, greater than that? And he gave me about 20 points. But of those 20 that I wrote down, and which I still have, Mr. Miller's the only person who's read them, he repeated about 5 times, more important than anything is that you must get your message out right from the beginning. He said that was our big mistake. We believed that because we were the victim, and from their point of view, they were the victim. There's a good argument to be made there.
Yeah.
He said we believed we had the moral high ground and everybody would be sympathetic to us. He said we didn't realize that our enemies who were attacking us, we weren't attacking them, our enemies were doing a great PR job of telling the world that we're the baddies. He said, we didn't even go outside our borders. We stayed in Croatia. We were the victims, man. But our enemies twisted that story around. And he said it took us a long, long time to catch up and to correct the fact that we didn't have a Foreign Affairs Department honestly representing what was really happening to our people. And so that was a great lesson. You know, as I say, of the 20 points on those pieces of paper that I was writing on, 5 of them were the same point over and over and over again. Make sure that from the beginning, you have the means to tell your story honestly and truthfully in a way that other people can't catch you out. So you mustn't say 100 of our people died yesterday if it was 12. Say 12. Otherwise, the day after tomorrow, somebody's going to prove that it was 12, and they're going to say, look there, Saitlanders lies when they say 100.
Yeah.
He said the same if you have an achievement. If you have a victory, don't say, well, we managed to protect these 10 bridges. He said, just say one. If it's one bridge, say one bridge. Don't play yourself up. Don't exaggerate. Don't, if I may use the words on your show, don't bulldust.
Yeah.
He said, tell the truth, but ensure that you have the means in place to tell that truth. Number one, so that you get the truth out. And number two, so that you can counter lies. But don't set yourself up to be made out to be a liar later on, or you will lose all of your credibility.
Ja, definitief. Credibility en eerlijkheid, oprechtheid, ach, ek bedoel, dit is toch die dinge waarna ons streef, allemaal is as Christen mense wat in geloof staan vir hierdie tyd wat dan kom. So, ek dink jy het dit al so half geantwoord, maar kom ek vraag weer officieel die vraag, so hoeveel lede is daar nou in jou departement?
Well, as I say, we're the only department that doesn't need to have representation at group level and provincial level and so on. It serves no purpose whatsoever. But we are nevertheless a very healthy department. There's me, 2IC, Wim John Meyring. We've got a general manager in place. I won't mention their name. We've got a 3IC in place. I'm hoping to appoint a 4IC before too long. We've got a head of logistics. We've got a couple of computer boffins. We've got a South African expert in database and registries, which will be very important for the nature of our work. We also have a couple of people who are currently, presently, staff members at mainstream media institutions.
Okay.
And we've got a film team. We've got a small studio team. I did a count the other day, and I think that we have 16 active people in our department, and they're pretty active. I wouldn't say we're the most active, dynamic department doing some, you know, great or fantastic thing every single day, but there is ongoing work being done week in and week out in setting up the computer systems that we will use and the communication systems that we will use. And with help from a chart of Department Logistique, we've got some nice resources. We've got a good, you know, we've got our department owns, I think it's now 12 computers that are owned by the department that will form the kernel of the system that we will implement later on. So we've got, about 16 active people. I would like it to be maybe 25 by the middle of next year, people in place to form the core or the skeleton for Die Tyd Wat Voor Lê. In other words, if the skeleton is in place, then when we go into crisis, it will be easy to pack the meat and the muscle, or whatever you want to call it, onto that skeleton. If we've got the core of the studio and the core of the video work and the core of the editing and packaging of the material that we'll send out into the world, and the core of the processing that will happen under our general manager, then it will be so much easier to populate it. If we've got all of that in place, that core, that skeleton, then if we get in 8 people, let's say, just to do registry work, you know, of all the material that we get in and that we send out.
Yeah.
It'll be easy for one person to say to them, right, you knew 8 people. This is what you've got to do. This is how you do it. It's already been figured out. Don't worry about a thing. You'll get it within a day or two. You'll be A for away. So, yeah, if we can get a good group of 25 people, that will be, I think, more than enough for now. And one of the things is that you have to have pretty solid people. You don't have to be a genius to do this work. It's not genius. This is not electrical engineering or electronic engineering or computer coding. There's no two ways about it. You don't have to be a superstar, but you do have to know what's going on in the world. You can't hold conversations with the Buitenland if you don't know the difference between Australia and Austria, or between Sweden and Switzerland, or which are South Africa's 6 neighboring countries, or what is the capital of the USA, or how many states are there in the USA, or how many states are there in the European Union, or how many states are there in NATO, or show me Russia on a map, or show me Ukraine on a map. You do need to be, if I may say it, geletterd.
Yeah.
You do need to be well read. So we're fortunate. I mean, our general manager has 3 degrees. Our 3IC has 4 degrees. Our 2IC was one of the top guys of Telkom. Top people.
Yeah.
You don't need geniuses, but you do need people who really actually know a bit about the world, who are well educated and can hold serious conversations with serious people. So a small team of, say, 25 superstars, like, as I say, we have 2 people who are on mainstream, the very biggest national broadcasters in South Africa. You know, superstars like that is the kind of people that you need to have people who really know what they're doing.
Ja, nee, definitief, definitief. Maar Simon, ja, nee, hierdie was nou 'n goeie grondslag gewees om vir die luisteraars presies te sê, wat doen het departement buitelands, hoe gaan julle te werk nou in hierdie tyd, en dan hoe gaan julle te werk gaan in daardie tyd? Maar ek weet ook, jy was nou onlangs, was jy bietjie in Amerika gewees, jy het natuurlik baie kennis oor wat in, wat is in Rusland en my heler, is het... Ukraine aan die gang,
Ukraine.
Ja, en dan ook dan natuurlijk, wat is aan die gang met Israel en Hamas en daar die hele story, so ons gaan met die reekse aangaan saam met jou, so volgende week, denk ek het ons gesê, gaan ons bykie gesels oor jou Amerikaanse tour, wat jy onlangs gedoen het, en dan ook nou natuurlijk die Amerikaanse politiek, en wat aan die gang is nou rondom Amerika.
Yeah, I'd like that very much. Thank you very much,
yeah.
Marius. I think that's a privilege for me to be able to talk about that, and hopefully I can share some knowledge, because those things that you mentioned, Ukraine, Gaza, and the USA, by voorbeeld, are, I think, very much deeper than most people appreciate. It's a bit like what's going on in the South African elections now, or the... in this period following the elections, I think that it is far deeper than most people realize. You know, we know for a fact that the MK party was sponsored by the Russian GRU, that is to say, Militaire Inlichting.
Yeah.
And once you start to realize that, then you realize that this game is much, much, much deeper than most people appreciate. So hopefully we can chat about those examples that you mentioned, and we can shed some light and share some knowledge and empower people to understand a bit better.
Ja, ja, en dan, soos ek nou vandag ook so vinnig in die nuus gelees het, dis nou die Europese nasies verkiesing wat nou begin, ek dink die Netherlands het vandag gaan stem, en die ouens sê, dit lyk my of dit dalk kan regs, nogal regs uitdraai, want die ouens is moeg, die ouens is moeg aan Europa vir hierdie linkse ding wat in mense keel afgedruk het, politiek wat in hulle keel afgedruk het, maar mense sal maar nou wag en sien, ek weet, soos ons eie verkiesing, allemaal het gedink hulle weet, of het geweet, of gedink hulle weet, wat gaan gebeur, maar ek denk jy allemaal het precies verwag wat nou aan die gang is nie, maar ja, dis al hierdie type dinge wat ek en jy gaan kan oorgesels oor die volgende paar weke, en ja, baie dankie Simon vir jou tyd vanavond, dit is baie lekker gewees om met jou te gesels.
No, I say thank you to you, Marius. It's much appreciated. Thank you for allowing Departement Buitelands to represent itself to the Suidlanders members.
Ja, nee, groot plesier, en ek dink is baie belangrik dat die mense bietjie hoor van al die verskillende departemente, wat hulle doen, wat is die planne, mense hoor net Suidlanders, en ja, hulle het nou 'n plan van wegtrek, of baie mense sê nou selfs weghol, of wat ook al die geval is, maar sodra jy nou bietjie begin luister na die departementshoofde, wat se planne is daar al vir jare lank in plek gesit, dan begin jy 'n beter prentjie te kry oor eintlik hoe georganiseerd die Suidlanders is.
I think it's a terrible pity that so few people appreciate how well organized Suidlanders is in many aspects of, let's call it, the national emergency plan, for want of a better umbrella term.
Yeah.
There's some brilliant, really exceptional work that's already in place. I think of communications, for example, Nico Engelbrecht's department. And what he has in place is really something to be proud of in the eyes of the entire world. There's no other department or organization in the world that could be considered a true patriotic, conservative Christian, volksgerichte the organization that has anything like the communications department of Suidlanders has in place. And that's just one example. There are other examples too. So it's a crying shame that more people don't appreciate just how much we have to offer our people in the event of a crisis.
Ja, dit is so. Nee, dit is definitief so. Okay, Simon, ek gaan nou eers vir jou goeie naand sê en dan gesels ons vir jou volgende week, selfde tyd, selfde plek.
Thank you very much, Marius. Thanks a hang of a lot. We look forward to it.
Dat is hy, groot plezier. Tot ziens.
Okay, cheerio. Bye-bye.
Dat is hy, dit was Simon Ross gewees. Hy is die nationale departementshoof van buitenlands gewees. Ek hoop julle het dit saam met my geniet. En dan soos ek nou gesê het in die onderhoud, ek en hy gaan nou aanhou vir die volgende paar weke om met mekaar te gesels oor Amerika, Rusland, Ukraine en dan natuurlik ook Israel en Hamas wat aangaan, dalk 'n bietjie van hierdie Europese nasiese verkiesing wat aan die gang is en soos wat dit ontwikkel. Ag en dan ja, ek raai julle aan as julle enige vrae het wat julle graag sal wil hê dat ek vir Simon volgende week moet vra, stuur dit gerus in na ons WhatsApp telefoonnommer toe hier in die ateljee. Dit is 082-730-6040 of maak kontak met my ook persoonlik en dan kan ons, dit sal lekker wees as die luisteraars ook 'n paar vrae het wat ek dan vir Simon kan vra.